Harper Audio presents Sounder by William H. Armstrong. Read by Avery Brooks. Copyright 1969 by William H. Armstrong. Production copyright 1992 by HarperCollins Publishers.
The tall man stood at the edge of the porch. The roof sagged from the two rough posts which held it, almost closing the gap between his head and the rafters. The dim light from the cabin window cast long, equal shadows from man and posts. A boy stood nearby, shivering in the cold October wind. He ran his fingers back and forth over the broad crown of the head of a coon dog named Sounder. "Where did you first get Sounder?" the boy asked. "I never got him. He came to me along the road when he wasn't more than a pup." The father turned to the cabin door. It was ajar. Three small children, none as high as the level of the latch, were peering out into the dark. "We just want a pet, Sounder," the three all said at once.
"It's too cold. Shut the door."
"Sounder and me must be about the same age," the boy said, tugging gently at one of the coon dog's ears, and then the other. He felt the importance of the years, as a child measures age, which separated him from the younger children. He was old enough to stand out in the cold and run his fingers over Sounder's head. No dim lights from other cabins punctuated the night. The white man who owned the vast endless fields had scattered the cabins of his Negro sharecroppers far apart, like fly specks on a whitewashed ceiling. Sometimes on Sundays, the boy walked with his parents to set a while at one of the distant cabins. Sometimes they went to the meeting house, and there was school too, but it was far away at the edge of town. Its term began after harvest and ended before planting time. Two successive Octobers the boy had started, walking the 8 miles morning and evening. But after a few weeks, when cold winds and winter sickness came, his mother had said, "Give it up, child. It's too long and too cold." And the boy, remembering how he was always laughed at for getting to school so late, had agreed. Besides, he thought, next year he would be bigger and could walk faster and get to school before it started and wouldn't be laughed at. And when he wasn't dead tired from walking home from school, his father would let him hunt with Sounder. Having both school and Sounder would be mighty good, but if he couldn't have school, he could always have Sounder. "There ain't no dog like Sounder," the boy said. But his father did not take up the conversation. The boy wished he would. His father stood silent and motionless. He was looking past the rim of the half-light that came from the cabin window and pushed back the darkness in a circle that lost itself around the ends of the cabin. The man seemed to be listening, but no sounds came to the boy. Sounder was well named. When he treed a coon or possum in a persimmon tree or in a wild grapevine, his voice would roll across the flatlands. It wavered through the foothills louder than any other dog's in the whole countryside. What the boy saw in Sounder would have been totally missed by an outsider. The dog was not much to look at, a mixture of Georgia red-bone hound and bulldog. His ears, nose, and color were those of a red bone. The great square jaws and head, his muscular neck and broad chest showed his bulldog blood. When a possum or coon was shaken from a tree, like a flash, Sounder would clamp and set his jaw vise just behind the animal's head. Then he would spread his front paws, lock his shoulder joints, and let the bulging neck muscles fly from left to right. And that was all. The limp body, with not a torn spot or tooth puncture in the skin, would be laid at his master's feet. His master's calloused hand would rub the great neck, and he'd say, "Good, Sounder, good, Sounder." In the winter, when there were no crops and no pay, 50 cents for a possum and $2 for a coon hide bought flour and overall jackets with blanket linings. But there was no price that could be put on Sounder's voice. It came out of the great chest cavity in broad jaws as though it had bounced off the walls of a cave. It mellowed into half-echo before it touched the air. The mists of the flatlands strained out whatever coarseness was left over from his bulldog heritage, and only flute-like red-bone mellowness came to the listener. But it was louder and clearer than any purebred red-bone. The trail bark seemed to be spaced with the precision of a juggler. Each bark bounced from slope to slope in the foothills like a rubber ball. But it was not an ordinary bark. It filled up the night and made music as though the branches of all the trees were being pulled across silver strings.